Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live your life for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanos.
Well, welcome back to Fellowship Talks. It is good to have you with us today. Amy, this is episode number 10. What do you think about that?
Wow. You know, it's been so fun getting started on these episodes, and yet I really feel like we're just getting started with all the topics that we really want to talk about, and we've had so many ideas of things that we want to, people we want to interview, and I'm just excited to be back in here.
Yeah, it's been great. Fellowship Talks has been going really well. We're so thankful for all of you who are out there listening to this show. It's just proving to be a really good way to communicate with our church, and just some of the stories that we've had on here and some of the stories that we will be having here throughout the rest of this year. So I just want to encourage you as you're listening and ask you, as you're listening, go ahead and go to iTunes or Google Play and give us a 5-star rating. I'm not really concerned whether you like the show or not. Just give us those 5 stars.
So is that 5-star rating on iTunes important to the podcast?
Yeah, actually it is, because having good ratings or a certain amount of ratings actually helps Fellowship Talks to be more searchable across different podcast platforms. So giving us 5 stars if you're listening, if you're enjoying the show, is really a good thing for us.
Okay, good to know. So you mentioned that we've had some feedback through email. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, recently we had a question come in from one of our listeners, just talking about the membership series, and they said, "My D group loved the membership study, and it's really built momentum for the fall. What would be one or two books that we could recommend to anyone who wants to tighten their grip even more on church membership?"
Yeah, that is a good question. Yeah, you know, a couple months ago, our church went through an in-depth study on membership, and it was an opportunity for us to stop and just think about what being a part of a church really means. And so we've seen some great conversations, some good things happening around our church as a result of that in our D groups. And so one of the books that I would recommend is Church Membership by Jonathan Lehman.
That's a good one.
A small book. It's a quick read, but it comes from Nine Marks, which has solid resources and can really just kind of help walk through some of the foundational things about church membership.
Yeah, Amy, you mentioned Nine Marks. There's another author named Bobby Jameson who published a book through Nine Marks, and it's called Committing to One Another, Church Membership. So that's also a really good resource out there for people to check out.
Mm-hmm. So that was a great question. Thanks for sending us your questions, and we'd love to hear more of those. We really want this to be a conversation between our listeners as well. So if you have questions for us, comments, suggestions, we would love to hear all that.
Yes, yes. Well, Amy, I'm really excited about today's episode and next week's episode, because we're going to be talking about how to parent our kids around social media.
And there's so much we could talk about with that. You know, that's the stage I'm in right now. So I feel that, and I'm so excited to be asking some of these questions.
Do you use social media, Amy, yourself?
I do. I'm not the most in social media, I guess. I have a Facebook account. I get on there. I like to know, you know, whose birthday it is. And I feel like it's one of those things that if I check that, then I kind of know when there's something important going on in people's lives, whether, you know, good or bad. Somebody got engaged or someone had a death in their family. And those things, as I'm encountering people throughout my day, it's helpful to me to know what's going on in their lives. But I'm not the best at keeping everybody else up on my life. Like, I'm not the best at being the one that's out there posting a bunch of things or whatever. So I guess that's my involvement there.
Yeah, I'm a really bad millennial. I just canceled my Twitter account because I didn't use it at all. I use Instagram only for sports updates, so I don't post anything there. And I barely have a Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And I use that pretty much only to look at what my wife posts. So mm-hmm. I'm a really bad representation for the millennial generation. But we both have kids. You have teenagers, and mm-hmm. I have young kids. And we're thinking about all this social media and technology as our kids get older and how they interact with this. So we're not experts, but we're thankful to have two of our staff here with us today who interact around social media and interact with teens on a regular basis. Trish White and Tyler Kemp are here with us on Fellowship Talks today.
Hey, it's good to be here. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, welcome.
Yeah, thank you guys for having us. Yes.
So why don't you guys just take a moment just to introduce yourself so everyone here on Fellowship Talks knows who you are a little bit better.
like Dan said, my name is Trish, and I work at our Little Rock campus and work with our high school girls. So I work with our 9th through 12th grade girls. And yeah, we interact a lot with students and with parents with social media. And so that's it's a pretty common topic and a pretty common thing that we're talking about throughout our week of just what's out there. We talk about it among our staff a lot. We are on all the social medias just to make sure we know what's going on. We read up a lot on that. So I'm excited to be here with you guys today.
Yeah. And like you said, I'm Tyler, Tyler Kemp. I'm from our Cabot campus. So I work with,
shout out Cabot.
There you go. Panther Nation. And so, yeah, I work with our 7th through 12th graders, and we've got a phenomenal team of volunteers and staff up there that, it's a good time to be up there. The Lord's been good. So yeah, my wife and I moved up there about 2 years ago. So we do not have kids, but we do hang out with a lot of teenagers, and we have two dogs. So that's there you go.
Those dogs aren't on social media.
They are not. We do not have social media accounts for our dogs.
Okay. So. All right.
So start off by telling us what are the social media sites that students are using?
Yeah, we see a lot of Snapchat. So if you don't know what Snapchat is, just quick overview. It's where you can take a picture, you can take a video, and you can send it or you can put it on your story, which is a feed. And those are known to disappear, which we can talk about later, but those kind of disappear. And so that's Snapchat. We see Instagram a lot. So Instagram is like an online kind of photo album that you see where you can take pictures and people can comment on it. We see Insta Story a lot, where you take videos or you take pictures. Those disappear after 24 hours. And then we also, you see a little bit of Facebook that we're seeing with students. A lot of times that's kind of more of our older crew that's using that. And then YouTube is another.
I was gonna say, yeah, YouTube is a big one that doesn't function as what we think a social media website would, but there's a lot of social media aspects. So you see a lot of people, you see a lot of vloggers. So they vlog their life daily and they have a huge following. I mean, getting millions and millions of views a day, which for them brings them a lot of money, and so then they can go and do more cool stuff. And they also, on that they'll sell merchandise, and they have also, those vloggers have their social media sites, and so they're creating content, which isn't a way for necessarily teenagers to interact with them, but for them to interact with teenagers, which then influences our culture. And so that's a big one. I mean, people spend a lot of time on those places.
Yeah, so I wouldn't even thought of YouTube and talking about social media. That's a good one to bring up. Are kids still using Twitter?
Yeah, super rare. The way that I see it, I'm like you. Like, I'm not even on Twitter anymore. So I'm not on it. There are a couple of things that parents should be warned about against Twitter. We could talk about here in a few minutes, but not really. And we were actually even looking up some new websites because there's a new one called TBH that we're just trying to interact with right now. We can kind of chat through that. But
yeah, what is TBH?
Yeah, TBH, it seems to be a way for you to interact with your own contacts in your phone, as what I've seen so far. So you it literally will generate a quiz for people that are in your contacts. So it's, one question asked me, and who is your sunshine on a rainy day? And it'll list out people, and some way you can interact with them as well. So they, like, if you, let's say, I pick my wife as my sunshine on a rainy day, it can then notify her that I think she's my sunshine on a rainy day. So it's just kind of a weird way to interact. So, but it's a super new one. And so we don't know a ton about that, but, we'll keep you guys posted.
Well, you talked about a little bit about a trickle-down effect.
Yeah.
Just as parents are looking at different social medias that are coming out, what do you mean when you talk about that trickle-down effect?
Yeah, the trickle-down effect would be, if you think about fashion, if you look at sororities, the shirts that they design are now popular among teenage girls. Same thing with fraternities. So whatever that 18 to 25-year-old group is doing seems to be what kind of trickles down to high school and then trickles down to junior high and then even to elementary. About a year ago, I was at our Cabot campus and this fourth grader comes up to me and he's like, "Hey man, have you ever heard of the ice bucket challenge?" And I was like, "Yeah, like 3 years ago." Like it took that long for it to get down. So I mean, in the in a super, I mean, think about Facebook. Like, Facebook started in college and it was specifically just college. And then it was like, oh, it got some traction. We can create revenue through this. So it's like, well, let's, you know, open it up to people, other teenagers. So it went into high school and then it went down to junior high. And now, I mean, Facebook's the number one social media website in the world. I mean, over 2 billion people are on Facebook. And obviously we see a lot more adults on that now than, you know, junior hires. But the same thing happened for Snapchat and Instagram. And so that's why Twitter isn't so popular, because it kind of started in like the 25 to 35 range. And it sort of came down, but it's back up into adults, seems like. So,
yeah.
And I think for parents, what we could do is just say, you know what, hey, watch what's happening in that realm. You don't have to understand what TBH is, or you don't have to understand the fashion, but if you know, hey, there's a new social media website, hey, I just want to, and I'm going to find a blog about that, or I'm going to just ask our local student pastors, hey, what do you know about this? I know that it's not popular right now, but it seems that it could go down. I mean, there was one that called Yik Yak a few years ago that mm-hmm. It never caught any traction. I mean, there was pockets of it, but it never did. So it's not, I don't want to create like anything that happens in college is going to trickle down. It's just a way to be aware of kind of what's coming or possibly coming.
That's so good just hearing you talk about those, because I find as a parent, it's hard for me to keep up with what's the latest thing that they're hearing about at school, that's the latest social media something or whatever. So yeah. I think it helps just to have these conversations and hear from y'all, because you're in touch with a lot of that.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing with social media is you have to, and we've learned as a staff, you have to be talking about it. Whether you are constantly, I mean, we ask students a lot, hey, what are you on? What's the social media that you're using right now? And so we just have open dialogue with them about it. And so I would say as a parent, like, just having open conversation with what's the newest thing, what's the most recent thing, and just talking about it with other parents. What are you seeing? And because social media is constantly changing and it's ebbing, even Snapchat and Instagram are constantly changing. I mean, those are kind of set. I think those will be the social media big ones for, you know, a while, if not for a long, long, long time. But even within those sites, they are constantly just changing what they're doing. And so just being aware, having those conversations is so good.
So what I hear you saying, Trish, is that our kids are probably more on top of all the social media usage out there than we are as parents, but it's okay as parents to ask them what they're doing and how and what these different social medias are and what they use them for and why they like them. And it's okay to get involved in our kids' life and just tell them we don't understand and ask them for help.
Yeah, for sure. I would say step into those conversations rather than stepping away, even if you feel like you don't know as much as they do, because even as student pastors, as much as we're around students, students still probably know more about social media than we do. But we just kind of have this mentality of going, okay, no, we're going to step into what they're involved in and we're going to learn about it. So just have conversations with them, ask them about
it. One thing that we've done that I think has been helpful is we've put a thing on our phones where if the kids want to download an app, it sends us something that we have to approve that. And lots of times they'll send one and I'm like, I don't know what that is. And that prompts me to go, okay, tell me what this is. Let's look at it. That sort of thing. That's been helpful. So and just along the way, I've had different people tell me, like, you know, do this. And that kind of helps me know, like, a little checkpoints along the way that just help me stay up on what's going on. So I think this is an area that I know for me, it's been an area where at times I can, even though I'm on social media, I can feel a little bit fearful for my children because I want to protect them. So talk to me about that a little bit. Like, what are the benefits? Let's just start there. What are the benefits to allowing kids to be on social media?
Yeah, I think especially for that 7th, 8th, 9th grade year, and even beyond that, even into adulthood, but specifically then, their students are in such a phase where they're asking these questions like, who am I? Who likes me? Who do I like? What am I going to be like? And social media gives them sometimes a safe place to be able to say, I'm gonna explore what I like. What do I want to be about? Essentially, what am I going to? Am I gonna like sports? Like, is that where I'm gonna? That's where I'm gonna find information about sports. Or, I had a conversation with a student over the summer about her like overall Instagram vibe is kind of what she was talking about. And so she went through her entire Instagram. She had hundreds and hundreds of photos. She deleted all of them because she wanted a certain ambiance, so to speak, to her social media page. And so she only posted black and white photos. And that was kind of like, okay, like you're kind of figuring out, what do I like? And so it kind of gives them a little bit of a voice. Now, I said sometimes it's not all that safe to do that on such a public sphere, essentially. Mm-hmm. But that could be a benefit, and it's also good to be, it's also, you know, in 2017, it's great to be able to be connected to what's happening around the world, to see, you know, obviously that can be scary, but it also could be a really good thing. Like, so I think that may be some of the benefits. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And what I've seen, it's a communication tool. I mean, it is their way of communicating, and we don't need that obviously to take the place of the face-to-face interaction, but just like, you know, we used to stay up late at night when we were kids and talk on the phone all hours of the night, you know, that is their, social media is their way of doing that. That's their way of communicating. And so for a lot of girls, it's their online photo album. I mean, like we used to have picture books or scrapbooks. That is their online pictures. That's their pictures that they're going to look back and have kind of a file of their pictures. And then just a great thing that we've seen, it has been, it's a way for them to share their story. It's a way to point people back to Christ. It's a way mm-hmm. for them to talk about what they're learning. It's a way for them to encourage other people. We have a student this summer that just had a rough summer, was going through some tough stuff. And she was very vulnerable on Instagram and posted just about what God was teaching her through that and how she was struggling. And, you know, she had comments upon comments of just people pointing her back to Christ and encouraging her through that. And so mm-hmm. she has that written down, you know, in her phone, in a sense, written down, but she can go back. She has talked to me about how important that was to be able to go back and read through people's encouragement and just see, like, okay, that is something, as people comment on social media, that was something that she could actually go back and be encouraged by.
Yeah, so that's so good. Even thinking about as a parent that our kids are communicating different with each other today than what we did when we were kids. Yeah. I was just reading an article recently, and I'm sure you guys remember AOL Instant Messenger.
There you
go. That's how I communicated with my friends back in those late nights. Yes. AOL Instant Messenger, DanRS03. That was my screen name.
Yeah, it is.
But I just read recently that Instant Messenger is shutting down. AOL is stopping Instant Messenger altogether. So sad.
Wow. So I'm surprised it took that long.
Yeah. So kids are communicating with each other in these social medias, and this is how they're getting a hold of each other, talking to each other, sharing their stories. And it's not a bad thing that they're doing this at all. And I was just thinking about how it can be used as a unifying aspect for the body of Christ, even mm-hmm. within the church.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So then on the flip side of that, what are some of the challenges that you see?
Yeah, I would say some of the challenges we're seeing is just, and with parents, we're talking with parents a lot about how much is too much. Mm-hmm. You know, there's social media, and a lot of times schools now are bringing in, you know, iPads or screen time into that, because that's the way this generation is learning. And so a lot of studies are showing that teens are on their screens 8 hours and 56 minutes a day. I mean, so that's almost 9 hours that they are on a screen. Now, that doesn't necessarily have to be a phone, but that's any device of screen time. And so just realizing that's a lot. And so within that comes this sense of they are, you know, just they're behind a screen. They're not having face-to-face interaction. So some of those are challenges. And then I would just say, our students don't feel behind a screen. You can hide what you're saying, the comments you're making. You can hide what you're posting. You're a little bit more apt to post some things on a screen that is maybe you can kind of hide behind a screen. So we see that a lot as a challenge.
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously just the sheer amount of time, like Trish was saying, but also there when it comes to young boys, man, there is a world of, I mean, there's a lot of pornography that can be on, especially Instagram and Twitter, and it's virtually undetectable. So you can, if you can hide it, if you can find it in an app, and then you can clear your history, and a lot of parents don't know one, that there was a search engine inside of one of those social medias, as well as it's the internet, so you can put anything you want on there. And Twitter's probably the worst when it comes to their their bylaws of what you can and cannot post. Facebook is pretty good about kind of shutting some of that down. Instagram is okay at that, but you know, so it was just even kind of putting that spin on it, where it's like, man, if you're, you know, you can be interacting with different people, but you can also search the entire internet through those things. And so that would be a challenge, I would think, especially for parents of young boys, you know, obviously girls too, but for sure boys.
How would you recommend a parent stepping into that aspect and talking with their kids about stuff like that?
Yeah, I think it's one, you know, that pornography is such a, not a different issue, but it's another issue in and of itself. I mean, there's lust that goes behind that. It's a heart issue, really. But I would just be able to, for parents, just to say, you know, hey, I've bought you this phone. Like, I pay for this phone. I've got anytime I want access to your phone, I have access to it. I don't know of a way necessarily to track what happens inside an app. You know, you think, you know, you've got like Covenant Eyes, is something, or Triple X, I think, is another one that's a internet, filter system. Mm-hmm. But those don't, interact with individual applications. And so, you can make sure that they're not on, you know, websites on their browser, whether it be like Safari or whatever on their phone. But I just think it's an open conversation. Do we have a healthy view of women? Do we have a healthy view of sex? Do we have a healthy view of yourself? And then saying, you know what, you know, if and when that comes along, it's like, okay, we're going to you parents, you own the phone essentially. So you can decide when, what's the proper, you know, you've got 3 weeks without your phone, or, we're going to, you know, like you were talking about, Amy, we're going to not let you download apps that we know you shouldn't have, or whatever that may, mm-hmm. Look like. And so there may be a little bit more hands-on approach to it than,
Well, let's backtrack just a little bit. And talk about the ages that you guys see that students should be allowed to start getting involved in social media. So what is a good age for students or kids to start being involved in social media or smartphones or technology?
I think there's some grown men and women that shouldn't have social media. So,
so true.
That's a hard question to answer, just because it just depends on the kid. There are some there are some teenagers that are way more mature and they're able to interact well through social media. And we haven't even, you know, kind of talked about, you know, cyberbullying and all of those things that can happen through there as well. It just depends. I mean, I was listening to a podcast the other day. A guy named John Acuff was talking about social media, and he's like, it's not like a phone or social media isn't like any other toy that you could give your kid. It's like, if you give him a bike, it's not like you don't check up on the bike. It's like, hey, man, how's the bike going? It's like, no, he's like, you don't check up on the bike or Legos or whatever, but it's like with the phone, you have to continually check up. I mean, so like I said, there, I don't know of like the definitive age. I would say, I mean, there are a lot of teenagers that have, preteens that have phones or Instagrams or whatever. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, Trish may have a better answer there.
Well, I would say, I mean, just as a parent, if you need an actual like age to know when it's like actually legal, there is a Children Online Privacy Act, and that says that all these social media sites, they can't gather any personal information from a child until they're 13 years old. Mm-hmm. So if you just need as a parent, like, hey, this is why we do it because it's the law, then 13 is the age that these social media sites can start gathering personal information from kids.
And that's supposed to be the quote-unquote legal age for Facebook too, right?
Right. Yeah, 13. So that's Facebook, that's Snapchat, Instagram, all of those all of those social media sites fall under Child Online Privacy Act. So that's all 13. But I would push back to say, man, you might have some 13-year-olds that aren't ready for that. And like Tyler was saying, it just depends on the child. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I read an article the other day about how we don't hand our 16-year-olds the keys to a new brand new car and say, good luck, and have no conversation, no practice, no driving with you in the car. And so, Amy, just like you were saying, you guys have some stuff set up with your kids of going, man, they can't download an app until they come and talk to you first. And so I would say, you know, just like we don't hand our 16-year-old the key to a car and say, good luck, best of luck, and we don't give them any instruction or any direction mm-hmm. or practice, we need to do the same thing with a phone. I mean, it's that important and that much of a safety issue of going, okay, if I am going to give you stuff at 13, I'm going to start with one. We're going to start with one social media set. We're going to start with Instagram, and we're going to learn as a parent and as a child how to walk through that together.
That's
and,
good. That's yeah. so good.
Yeah, I was. There's a popular article that came out this year, a popular story around Bill Gates and his mm-hmm. wife and how they were parenting their kids around technology and social yeah. media usage. I don't know if you guys saw that, but it was pretty big here through the summer. And they said that they wouldn't allow their kids to start using smart devices until they were 14. Because they saw as adults and being involved in this world of some of the dangers, and they didn't want their kids to get involved, which also made me think, I wonder what Steve Jobs did just as the yeah. founder of Apple, right? Yeah. And the leader of Apple for so long. And I went and I found an article of Steve Jobs, and he said also about the same thing. He and his wife wouldn't let their kids use social media or smartphones until they got into that those teenage years. And he said it was because I've seen the dangers of technology firsthand. I've seen it in myself, and I don't want to see that happen to my kids. Mm. The dangers that he was referring to were exposure to harmful content, bullying from other kids, or becoming addicted to his devices like he had become addicted. And so he and his wife even felt a desire to hold back their kids a little bit and to put some boundaries around that. Amy, what have you seen in your family? Just what are some of the boundaries you guys have put mm-hmm. there in starting ages?
Yeah, you know, it's been a little different with each kid, as as I think anyone who has multiple kids knows. You're a lot tighter on that first kid, and then the second one, you they're asking for it earlier, and you hold off as long as you can. You know, so we've had a lot of that, and we've had a lot of good conversations along the way about, you know, we tend to try to hold out as long as we can with the kids, and we just, you know, it ends up being, you know, well, we'll talk about it, and then we'll sit and we'll talk about it, and we'll say, okay, well, let us talk to some other parents. Like, I feel like in a lot of ways we've like stalled sometimes just to kind of buy a little bit of time on that and talk with them. And then even as we have allowed it, we've done things like one of my daughters, once she got on Instagram, I have it logged in on my phone as well. So I'm looking at it every day, checking it. And then I have her passcode on her other things. And so I can log on and see them at any time. And they just know, like, I know the password to your phone. I'm going to get on there anytime. It's not that I like am thinking you're going to be doing something bad. It's just that I know the danger's there, and I want to protect you. And one of the best ways to do that is to have accountability in it. So, mm-hmm.
yeah. Well, Trish and Tyler, thank you for being with us today and just talking around some of these early aspects of social media and how to parent around those. One of the things I hear us talking about more than anything else today is, as a parent, don't be afraid to step into your child's life around social media. Don't be afraid to ask questions and to push in and to embrace them in their desire to use social media and technology. The more we pull away, the harder that relationship is going to be. And it's okay to push in and to embrace them and to talk about it. And what goes for one parent and one child may not be what goes for another child. And just really knowing your child and how their maturity, their responsibility, and how well they can work with social media. So thanks for being with us today, guys. Amy, I wanted to read just a passage today because I heard you mention something just around the anxiety of not knowing how to handle social mm-hmm. media all the time. But just a familiar verse for all of us. Out of Philippians chapter 4, it says, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So until next time, Fellowship, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
For As You Go, this is Fellowship Talks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and you love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.